Hey, sex fans, it's Dr. Dick. It's February 12th, 2007, Monday. And today, we're making history. Yes, today is the very first, the premier podcast of DrDickSexAdvice.com. And today's podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Daddy-O Productions. You can visit them on the web at www.daddyo.com. That's DaddyOHHH.com. So without further ado, let's take our first call.
Hi, Dr. Dick. My name's Frank. I'm calling from L.A. I'm 28. The problem I'm having is that my current girlfriend has really small breasts. I don't know, maybe a size A or something like that. The problem I'm having is that my last girlfriend, she had these beautiful breasts. And being in L.A., of course, they were fake, but that wasn't a problem. I love them. Now, my new girlfriend, she's okay in bed, but the boobs issue is just, I'm not attracted. Her boobs are so small, there's nothing to do with them. The rest of her body's fine, and the face is great, but I'm just looking to her advice. I'd love for her to get a breast augmentation. Just looking for your advice. Thanks. Bye.
Wait a minute. So let me get this straight, Frank. You're a big breast freak, and you don't care much if the tits are God-made or plastic. You live in L.A., the very center of the silicone universe, and you are in a relationship with a woman with natural breasts but very little bust line. Holy cow, how did this happen? Is this some kind of twisted karmic fate for you? Do you suppose the cosmos is trying to tell you something? Okay, you want my advice? Here it is. I totally think you ought to go to this pretty sweet young girlfriend of yours and tell her that despite her many charms and the fun you guys have in the sack together, you're simply going to be needing much bigger tits on her real soon. That's right, you heard me correctly. You just march right up to her and tell her what's on your mind. Of course, Frank, you're going to want to precede this little declaration by telling the lovely lass that you will submit your dick for augmentation if she agrees to submit her breasts. I mean, fair is fair, right, Frank? To do anything less would mark you as incredibly shallow and selfish. It would also smack of a very unpleasant double standard on your part. And Dr. Dick wants to believe that you're not that kind of a scoundrel. You aren't, are you, Frank? If by chance you're not quite ready to surrender your dick to a surgeon's scalpel, with all the inherent dangers major surgery like this entails, then you're in no position to ask your darling girlfriend with the tiny titties to do so either. So let's review. Either enjoy what's near to hand, my friend, or find some chick that's already sporting a big rack. I encourage you not to suggest to any woman that she'd be a better person or more desirable to you or any other man if she were just more stacked. This will simply backfire. You will not only find yourself without the desired tits, you'll be without pussy too. Good luck! Okay, let's move on. Let's go to the next caller.
Hi, my name is Daniel. My question was, do all women essentially have the same size in vagina? Because I have an abnormally large penis, and some women are fine with it, and some women complain way too much, pain and not being comfortable with it. That's my question. It's what kind of woman should I be looking for that can handle what I have?
Hey, Daniel. Good question. There are a couple of things that I want to say in response. First, as you probably know, vagina is made up of the same tissue as your dick. In other words, your cock and balls are simply a pussy on the stick. So if you follow the logic, you'll find the answer to your question. Vaginas, or more properly, the vulva, do indeed come in a variety of sizes and shapes. Perhaps they're not as variable as penis size and shape, but there is plenty of variety nonetheless. Okay, so we're clear on that point, right? Excellent. Now, the variation in size and shape of the external components of female genitalia, the vulva, are only a preview of the amazing capacities of the internal components, the vagina. This is best understood as a potential space. The vagina is very expandable, of course. It has to be, since whole babies come pushing through there from time to time. You're clear on that concept, right? Again, if you follow the logic, you'll realize that unless you are hung in a freakish sort of way, and if you are, I want photographic evidence sent to me immediately, just about any adult female vagina will be able to accommodate even the really big boys. Second, and this is the most important point, I suggest that someday real soon you have a really nice long conversation with someone who actually owns a vagina. Well, Dr. Dick is a very clever lad. Sadly, he doesn't have a vagina himself. So go right to the source, Daniel. Before you start poking away at this mysterious entity that you clearly don't understand very well, ask your partner for a little tour. Have her show you around. Have her point out the really exciting points of interest. And there are a whole lot of them. You'll be sorely amazed. If you think your dick is talented, pal, let me tell you, it pales in comparison to a vagina. Besides, this little exercise will give you lots of brownie points with your girlfriend. You'll also be vastly more informed about pussy in general, and therefore make a much better lover. Finally, if your women partners are complaining about your size, it probably has more to do with your capacity as a cocksmith than about the capacity of any given vagina. Most women who complain about painful intercourse report that their oafish male partners don't get them warmed up enough. No lubrication means there's no arousal. No arousal means there's going to be some painful fucking ahead. Get it? A word to the wise, Daniel. If your dick is hard, it's evidence that you're aroused. But if your partner isn't lubricating really big time, then you didn't take care of business properly. You want in? Better pave the way, darling. Good luck. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to the next caller.
Yes, my name is Dan. I am 24 years old. Gender is male, I suppose, but, I mean, you know, who knows these days. And my question was basically, is rimming something that is indeed, I don't know if it's a high-profile question, but is it dangerous with respect, you know? Well, you know, that's my question. Bye-bye.
Thanksgiving cookies.
Hey, Daniel, of indiscriminate gender, you want to know if rimming, or ass-to-mouth contact for those less familiar with the term rimming, is dangerous with respect to, oh, you know, well, you know. Well, that sure is articulate, Daniel. I guess you want Dr. Dick to fill in the blanks. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you want to know about the health risks involved in rimming, right? Why not just come right out and ask? Hey, Dr. Dick, is eating ass going to make me sick? Let me preface my comments with this very important universal statement. There is some risk involved in everything that we do. Are you breathing this air? Are you drinking this water? Are you eating this food? Are you driving a car? Yikes, especially here in Seattle. Then you are at risk of serious bodily injury. Are you noticing the increase in health advisories issued for air quality? The ever-increasing frequency of food contamination scares? And I'm sure I don't have to call your attention to the worsening traffic and the endless parade of really bad drivers out there. And yet, we continue to breathe and eat and move around in traffic as if there were no risk to us at all. We do so because it's hard to live a normal life without. Rather than wall ourselves up somewhere to avoid the inherent dangers of life in the modern world, we do our best to minimize the risk by keeping ourselves informed and staying alert to signs of danger. The same is true for any and all perceived risks associated with sex. Trust me, I'm not here to diminish any health risks involved when folks bump parts with one another. But I do want to put them into perspective. You can minimize health risks associated with sexual contact with others by being informed about sexual issues in general and the health of your partner or partners in particular. Also, stay alert to signs of danger. Lesions, inflammations, abnormal odors, pain are all warning signs that things are not okay. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important than hygiene, especially where butt munching is concerned. To that end, I'd like to initiate a little code. You know, like the fun rainbow-colored Homeland Security codes that we've all come to know and love. However, unlike the Department of Homeland Security, Dr. Dick promises he will never use his advisory code to a political end. The Dr. Dick code will be, from here on out, this simple. A. Advised. B. Advised with minimal risk. C. Advised with caution. And D. Not advisable. Now back to you, Daniel. Dr. Dick is going to label rimming advised with caution. There is a minimal risk of HIV transmission. However, the presence of anal bleeding or bloody gums makes rimming not advisable. Rimming does carry the risk of parasite infestations and bacterial infections. Hepatitis is also a risk, but there are hepatitis vaccines out there, and anyone engaging in sex with another human being, eating ass or no, who isn't immunized against hep is just a damn fool. Hope that answers your question, Daniel. Good luck. Okay, let's see who's next.
Yes, my name is George. I am 27 years old. I am a male, and I had a friend who was talking about giving cookies, and I wasn't just a friend, it was someone I was actually dating, and I didn't know whether or not, what it was to do. Well, that's what I, exactly, excuse me. And I wanted to know exactly what it is to give cookies. That was my question. Okay, thanks.
Hey, George. Are you dating a Girl Scout by chance? Because that would clear up the whole give cookie issue right away, wouldn't it? If, however, your girlfriend is not a freaking Girl Scout, and she still wants to give you cookie, and you didn't ask what the fuck she was talking about, then I may not be able to help you. The first line of defense when faced with new or unfamiliar sex jargon is to ask, "Say what?" Listen, you don't have to be all sophisticated and pretend you know everything. Here's the thing about sexual euphemisms, be it giving cookies, which for some people means giving a hand job, for others it means handing out crack, or lace curtains, which could either refer to your mom's window treatment or a guy's foreskin, you just never know when you're quite getting it right. That's why you need to ask, darling. Besides, who can say for sure if the person using the euphemism is actually using it correctly? I never assume that. Here's an example. If your girlfriend says she's got ginger cookies for you, that would be totally different than from wanting to give you cookie. You see, ginger cookies refer to eating out at the Y, which is a euphemism for eating pussy while the chick is on the rag. You see, where a little miscommunication about cookies would get pretty embarrassing. Good luck, George. This last piece goes out to Alicia from Guadalajara. She writes to tell me that her brother is just coming out. He turned to her for advice on oral sex. Apparently, she keeps her husband totally satisfied. She was way too embarrassed to share her technique with her own brother, so she asked if I could help. She's going to give her brother this podcast for Valentine's Day. How sweet. Okay, here's to you, Mario. So you want to be a world-class cocksucker. What's up with the current lamentable state of cocksucking these days? Why, I can remember a time when the humble hummer was king. Now, sadly, the basic blowjob is a lost art. Dr. Dick is forever getting letters from all over, from both women and men, asking for his sage advice. Dear Dr. Dick, help! I can't seem to get the hang of fellatio. Fellatio? Are you serious? Keep referring to cocksucking like that and we're going to take away your adult card. And then there are letters from disappointed aficionados of excellent head. Dear Dr. Dick, help. My boyfriend sucks dick like a girl. He's afraid to get down and dirty on my big old thing. Yeah, ain't it a shame? You know, there are those who believe that an expert cocksucker is born, not made. Either you can suck the chrome off a trailer hitch or you can't. However, Dr. Dick believes anyone can be an adequate or even superior cocksucker with a little willpower and some ingenuity. Let's start with the basics. There's no one best way to make oral love to a boner. No two cocksuckers do it exactly the same way, but all have one thing in common, and that is the desire to satisfy. Technique and position take a backseat to simply craving cock in your mouth. We're not talking rockin' science here, girlfriend. It's just a pecker and a mouth doing what comes natural. So if cocksucking is more work than fun, just give it up. Life is way too short for a bad blowjob. Begin by taking a good look at the object of your desire. A big, stiff woody is a wonder to behold. And even those little willies can be cute as hell. Visually explore the whole enchilada. Feel its shape, its thickness and texture. Use your tongue to trace a line from his dick head down to the underside of his shaft and balls. If you're lucky enough to be gobbling an uncut dick, draw back his foreskin and slop your tongue around the corona. As you do, watch your man's eyes roll back in his head in ecstasy. Let his cock slide inside your mouth. Let your lips slide over the head and down the shaft a little. But for God's sake, watch out for your teeth. Slide your mouth down farther and open wider. Feel the stretch in your jaws. When his dick gets close to your throat, you may begin to gag. This is a normal reflex that you will, in time, be able to control. Ask for some feedback on your efforts. Just don't talk with your mouth full. There are lots of other things you can do with your mouth. Lick his dick, suck on it, flick your tongue rapidly across the top of his dick, or you can simply move your mouth up and down his joystick. Dive into his crotch, lick his inner thighs, lower belly, and slobber all over his nuts. Keep your mouth wet. A thick wad of saliva will add to the pleasure and eliminate irritation for you. Don't be afraid to be sloppy. Increase your speed or slow it down. Incorporate a little manual stimulation if you'd like. Fondle and cup his balls in your hand. As your man approaches orgasm, he will become more excited and may start some pelvic thrusting. If he does and you start to gag, use your hand to guide his dick in and out of your mouth. Remember that you're the one in charge here. Encircle your lips firmly around his cock and over your teeth. Keep the other parts of your mouth as relaxed as possible. Actual sucking is unnecessary at this point. Keeping a regular rhythm is nice, but don't let it get boring. If you vary your position and your stroke, you won't get fatigued. Remember, practice makes perfect. Above all, take the time you need to learn what works best for you. Good luck, Mario. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. This week's podcast sponsor, Daddy-O Productions, quality adult entertainment, enrichment, and education, invites you to check out their newest blockbuster video release, Barback Blues. Visit them on the web at www.daddyo.com. That's DaddyOHHH.com. Then click on either the Playhouse link or the link for Daddy-O TV. Hey, and enjoy the show! Before we go, I want to call your attention to the Lickety Split connection at www.drdicksexadvice.com. That's Dr. Dick's toll-free podcast voicemail. Got a question? No time to write? Give Dr. Dick a call. at 866-422-5680. Again, the toll-free voicemail number is 866-422-5680. Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Happy Valentine's, everyone. Over and out.